Generic. I was told that's how you say it. It's a joy to be here. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed Mr. Fike's Swiss sermon. And there's a scripture in Luke 22:32. It's been one of my memory scriptures. It says, "And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And Jesus tells Peter that before he's betrayed. So it is a very important concept, always, that if you are converted and you make that step and you convert your life and you receive God's Holy Spirit, that what comes out of your mouth and your behavior is to strengthen the brethren. Because if that was done all the time, then the issues that came up in Ephesus, as well as other churches through the history of the church, you wouldn't have nearly the problems you have. And that goes for today as much as any other day. Just because we have suits on and we're in a different building and a different city and a different time, it doesn't mean we don't have the same problems at all. You know, life has many interesting facts. For instance, smiling releases endorphins in the body, which make people feel better. It makes you feel better. How about this one? The reason most mosquito bites itch is because mosquitoes inject saliva into the person's skin before they suck your blood. The saliva has an anticoagulant agent to stop clotting and hence is an irritant to the skin. It's like they were designed to suck your blood. Right? Even a small amount of alcohol placed on a scorpion will cause it to go crazy and sting itself. Did you know that? I thought that was pretty interesting. You guys are smiling. That's good. Any space vehicle must travel at 7 miles per second to escape the Earth's the gravitational pull, better known as 25,200 miles per hour. Amazing amount of speed. And God created gravitational pull. A recent study at Harvard has shown that eating chocolate can actually help you live longer. My question is, how much chocolate? Because I like that one. How about for our jewelry fans? Pearls melt in vinegar. So do not clean your pearls with vinegar, which sometimes is used as a cleaning agent, right? Pearls melt in vinegar. And my last one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Causes and effects, brethren. And what is interesting is the outcomes. When we do this, this occurs. Pearls and vinegar disappear. Alcohol, dead scorpion. Smile, feel better. Come with me to Matthew 5:5, please. Matthew 5:5. This has been known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we in our Western civilization have coined it that, have called it that, the Sermon on the Mount. But the Sermon on the Mount, because we have called it a sermon, truly was not so much a sermon as a conversation. Because let us consider, it was preached outdoors. It was extemporaneous. He was just sitting there, as if we're sitting around talking, and maybe one of us came back from a trip, and we just start sharing what we learned. When I was in Europe, when I was in Asia, this is what happened. This is how they do it. And he's just talking. He didn't have an overpowering presence. He wasn't sermonizing. He was just sharing. And he was teaching while he was doing it. He was doing this in a way that people would listen, that they were interested, They weren't interested in something else. They were interested in what he had to say. He didn't say, if you notice, in the Beatitudes, as we call them, he didn't say, hey, you want to be blessed? This is what you need to do if you're going to be blessed. Is that the way you feel when you read it? He didn't feel like he needed to be in control of the message because he was sermonizing. It's not how he felt at all. Instead, he was trying to share knowledge about how human beings can become better people, about what they can do to become a better person, to what they can do to end up in a kingdom he knew was coming. So one of those, just one of those pieces of advice, which is in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Let's call it gentle, because meek gets misinterpreted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. It takes faith, brethren, to believe that. It takes pure faith to believe that. Otherwise, we as people would be run over. Because this world is, as you know, dog eat dog, muscles win, more money, more intellect, more power, more all of that usually wins in the world where we live. But here, Jesus Christ shares, blessed are the gentle. This has silent strength as such, for they shall inherit the earth. And there are some people who say, well, that is just figurative. They'll get everything if they're gentle. Well, you know, I talked to someone last night on the telephone who lives in California who's had a stroke and may not ever leave the nursing home he is in. Probably will be there because he can't take care of bodily functions. Half of his body's not working right. But his mind does work well. So we could have discussions just like this one that we're having casually. But he can't get out of his chair. He can't get out of bed. And we, of course, here all got out of bed and were able to make it here just fine. But do we realize what a blessing that is? Because what he told me last night has kind of stuck in my craw. He said, sooner or later, we'll give up everything. Everything. You give up your dignity. You give up your clothes. You'll give up your family. You give up what you have. You'll give up everything except what you believe. Now that's pretty raw. But you know, it's really hard. If you start thinking about now, if this is the last day for you and you had to give it all up, how would you do that? Could you do that? Because this life is short. So this advice he gives us about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, is quite interesting. It's something for us to really consider. So my SPS, if you're into those today, is it takes faith to be gentle. To be a gentle person. Dr. Leo Rostin said, I learned that it is the weak who are cruel, and that gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. You wouldn't think it's that way. You would think it's the other way around. Gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. The Old Testament is quite explicit about the necessity of being meek. Come with me to Psalms, the book of Psalms. Psalms 25 is where we'll go, or Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek, the gentle, humble person, will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. You want to take in of the words of God and the knowledge of God? It's a disposition that he wants us to have. Verse 10, and all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his agreement, his covenant, and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my sin, my iniquity, for it is great. A sense of repentant attitude continually rather than how great we are. What man is he that fears the Lord, reveres the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, his children, his descendants shall inherit the earth. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. David was on to something. He was seeing the importance or the necessity of what God requires to have that kind of relationship with us to teach us. Let us go to Zephaniah, please. Zephaniah 2. It always hides in my book, Zephaniah 2. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, who wouldn't want to be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger? Seek meekness, a gentleness. Because this quality has something to offer. It has something for us, brethren, that helps us. Psalm 37. Let's go back to Psalm again. And if it weren't for the authority of these scriptures, we couldn't rely on what God has to say about this. In fact, we probably would not even attempt to be this way. Psalm 37. Tell your wife I missed her. Tell your grandma and grandpa I miss them. You look around the room and you see people missing, please. Psalm 37. And anybody else I'm missing here? Psalm 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, destroyed. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, brethren, the meek, humble, gentle individual shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Before Jesus Christ said it, it had been in the plan of God, in the ways of God, clear through the Bible. It is the meek. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way, though he fall. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and the tongue, his tongue, talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Let's go to Psalm 149. Come with me there, please. Psalm 149. Verse 2. Psalm 149, verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. And who are the children of Zion? I'll come answer that in a minute. Verse 3. Let him praise his name
in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. What a beautiful way to say that. He will beautify us with salvation. Why not consider gentleness? And these children of Zion, verse 2. Let us go back to Hebrews 12, where it's a little bit more clear who he's talking about here. Hebrews 12. Thank you for the water. Remember we did this? Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, us, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We should consider gentleness, brethren. We should consider it in the way we treat one another. We should consider it in how we speak of one another and what personality we take on. That should be there because God wants it. An author, Samuel von Weir, one time said, if a violent person wishes to attack us, let us send him a gentle phrase, as this will diffuse his violence. How is it that it works its magic? This gentleness. Proverbs 15:1, it mimics pretty much what that is. Let's go back there and we'll read it. His quote is mimicked in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up anger. For brethren, I suggest that gentleness is a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. And Jesus Christ knew that when he gave the message that we call the Sermon on the Mount. These principles of gentleness, meekness, are found throughout the Bible, not just in the Old Testament. Of course, with the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus Christ, we find it there. But how about if we go to, like, 2 Timothy? Come with me there, please. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, quarrel, but to be gentle to all men, apt to teach, be patient. Have you ever tried to teach somebody anything and have this aggressive attitude? And the students kind of well up and they don't really want to listen to what you have to say. But how about if you just gently say, no, come here. Let me show you this. It starts to work because it has a condition of the heart associated with it. It's not just the use of the words. It has to do with the attitude which comes out of the heart through the mouth and attaches to those words. Let's go back one book to Titus. From 2 Timothy, go back to Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, uncontentious fighters, but be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. That can be hard. That can be very difficult to do, because some people can be nasty. And your response to a nasty person usually is to be nasty. You know? And the eye for eye before? That's gone, brethren. The new covenant holds no room for eye for eye. It doesn't hold for power grabbing. It doesn't hold for ruling over. It doesn't hold for controlling anyone but yourself. So this sense of gentleness, if you're working on controlling anyone, I suggest you start here. Because it's a full-time job. 1 Thessalonians, come with me there, please. 1 Thessalonians. Back a few books. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse tenderly cares for her children. That's a nice way to put it, isn't it? That's a very nice way to put it. That's the type of gentleness that we need to treat each other with. Without gentleness, we will consume each other on the other extreme. Without gentleness, you start to have problems like were discussed in the earlier message. And this is just a reference back to their earlier message. Come with me to Acts 20, please. Come with me to Acts 20, which Mr. Fike was going through. I hope I could find what I'm thinking here. Acts 20, verse 31. We find Paul here saying, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. I think he felt pretty tough in his heart and soul that what he knew that Jesus Christ was teaching him was right. And that he was going to try to do all he could to tell people to watch for these people that would come in and would just tear up the flock. And you do not get the feeling of gentleness in that at all. You never think it was a wolf or as a coyote or any other predator. Predator is being gentle. They're not. And we need to treat each other as gentle as possible. It is good for us if we want to inherit the earth. Let's go back to the book of James. Please come with me there, James. Cause and effect, or meekness, or gentleness, inheriting the earth. You would never put the two together. Vinegar and pearls. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, is where we'll begin. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And you cannot do that without being gentle. So we should see a connection here between our meekness, our gentleness, and the inheritance of the earth. Hebrews 11. Come with me there, please. Hebrews 11, just back a few pages. Hebrews 11. Spent a little time in this chapter recently because I was thinking about the three seasons that God puts out for us to know the plan of God with Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. It's easier to see Passover because Jesus Christ is the lamb portrayed back in Israel, then his blood, then Jesus' sacrifice. It's easy to see the synonyms, analogy, and all that going on. It's easy to see the law at Sinai, and it's easy to see that it's being given through the Holy Spirit when you get to Pentecost. But when you get to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's your hardest season to see because we're not there yet. You have to look this way, which is uncertain, whereas this way, it's happened. So now when we get to this book, Hebrews 11, known as the faith chapter, the Hall of Fame chapter for faith in the Bible, and you look at the verse, the very first verse, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. It tells you that through faith, in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Without faith, saying it another way, we don't understand that the word of God framed the world, that he created it. Without that, neither would we care, probably. Verse 6, as important as ever. Without faith, it's impossible. Impossible. Not improbable, but impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. It is a prerequisite that we need to believe in God and who he is. In order to get the rest to work out, it's a prerequisite. So when we apply this to gentleness, and we apply it to the result, it's a prerequisite to believing that this works. And if you believe it works, it's easier to do it. I give you $10, you give me X amount of product. I give you my faith, Lord, and I give you my meekness, and he will fulfill his end of the deal that you can't see. Verse 6 at the end, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know the story about Noah, verse 7. He didn't know the flood was coming when he was building that ark for all those years. Or Abraham getting ready to sacrifice his son. He didn't see the outcome then. Or going to another land in verse 9. Or Sarah having the baby at her age. These examples were there for us, brethren. They were there for us. You say, well, how do you know that, Bob? Verse 13. These all died in the faith, those examples, not having received the promises. Still waiting for the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded, convicted, convinced, and embraced them, and confessed them. And what they said was, we're pilgrims and strangers on this earth, but we will not give up that faith. That's the way it worked then. That's the way it should work now. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, a world, an earth that doesn't operate the way ours does today. Verse 16. Because they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them and is preparing for us a city. Verse 24. The story of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, getting older, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy whatever we want. The kind of faith that has some substance to it, not just words. Esteeming, verse 26, the reproach of Jesus Christ greater than all the riches in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. Now, how does he do that when Jesus Christ wasn't even born yet? How is it possible that he is mentioned in this chapter and Jesus Christ wasn't even born yet? By faith. Purely by faith. Verse 39 to the end of the story. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, still didn't receive the promise. Verse 39. Verse 40. For God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. The third season. It is really important, brethren, that we adopt gentleness in our soul. Because the inheritance of this earth, which is coming closer by the year, by the day, by the week, necessitates it. It necessitates that kind of behavior. Romans 8. Come with me to Romans 8, please. Seems simple to hear this. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, second season, Pentecost, before third season, Feast of Tabernacles, those led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Passover reveals Jesus Christ. Pentecost is revealing the Holy Spirit through us. And we haven't even met the Father yet until the Feast of Tabernacles. We're just 2/3 through the program. And is that a time to chew on anyone else? I'm not talking about amongst us, even though that applies. Is that a time to chew on anyone that you see that comes near you any day, any time? Is that a time ever not to show gentleness and meekness and be an example? Can you speed up the clock and see what it is after you die and you see them again? Are you going to hide your face and say, I thought I was in charge. For the Spirit itself, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, brethren. And if we're children, we're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he suffered for us that this would be possible. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, whatever they are, including my friend in the wheelchair that I think of daily, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's pretty hard to do that when you can't wipe your backside and to think of that. It's easy to do when you can dress up and look good. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen, or seen, is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he hope for it? Because he knows it's there. But if we hope for that what we see not, this kingdom, then do we with patience wait for it, in a type of attitude that is good in the sight of our Lord and Savior, who gave his life for us. We know in Galatians 5, come with me there, we know in Galatians 5 that we're told that these are the fruits of God's Spirit. Are they evident? Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Now, there's a relationship between gentleness and meekness. They're very similar. Temperance, against such there is no law. Because those qualities tend to make sure you don't disobey the laws. Not that the laws don't exist. They teach us how to treat one another. Matthew 11. Come with me there. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Jesus Christ says here, verse 28, come over here to me, he says, brethren, all of you that labor and that your heart is heavy, and I'll give you rest. Just take my yoke on you and just learn of me, okay? You want to be stress-free? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest of your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That doesn't sound like he's trying to control us, does it? He's trying to take care of us. He's trying to, as Paul puts it, nurture as a nurse would children. Revelation 5. As we start to close down here. Revelation 5. Come with me there as we go towards, as they say, the end of the book, the end of the story. Revelation 5. Verse 5. And one of the elders says to me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." Jesus Christ has prevailed to open the book. And this book, which you see is up here in the verse 1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written inside and on the backside. In other words, it was rolled up so that the type was on the inside. On the outside, you couldn't read anything. It had seven seals. They were probably in an angle, and you would break them as you opened up and you read more. These were typically used, these kinds of seals, for legal documents, religious documents, and for inheritances. In this particular case, it's showing the inheritance of the earth being unwound and unleashed and given to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, Jesus Christ, as he had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes." And if you go back and you look up some of that, you'll see that has to do with some of the spirits and angels, etc. Verse 7, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." They worshipped him. A lot of figurative feelings here because we don't know what an angel looks like. Verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take this book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and the nations, and have made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" A good goal, a good conclusion for the behavior that God requires and really wants us to consider. Let's go back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Verse 6, that same term, blessed are the meek. "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years on this earth. So if you take this cause and effect of meekness and gentleness and inheritance of the earth and where it ends up here, you can start to see where these cause and effect natural reactions like pearls melting vinegar, or the gravitational pull and what it takes to get through it, or alcohol killing a scorpion, or any of those kinds of things, and smiling, releasing these endorphins. You begin to see this cause and effect. One of the best causes and effect that I suggest that we consider is that of choosing to be gentle and the inheritance that flows from it.